Well, it looks like everybody's seated and everything. Folks, I just now, as I came in, Arisa says, "We missed you last night." And I said, "From what?" She said, "The winter banquet." I forgot. If you would have remembered, my name was the first person on the top of the list. My name was there. I wanted to be sure that I had room to sign up for it, so I'd be there. I had every intention of being there, so I forgot. So I. Well, I guess so. I've got it written on my calendar. I just forgot to look at the calendar. So I can't. Oh. Okay. It's good to be here, folks. It's good to be in the house of the Lord and to be able to come and study His Word together in freedom. And we better hadn't be taking that for granted. So, but anyway, it's wonderful. Thank you, Lord, that we have the privilege of being here and to study Your Word. Amen. Why don't we go ahead and open with a word of prayer and we'll get started. Dear Father, thank You, Lord, for Your goodness. Thank You for Your Word. And Lord, thank You for the freedom we have to come and to study it together. And Lord, help us to be obedient in reading Your Word, studying Your Word, and Lord, obeying Your Word. And some of the things I've been teaching here, Lord, it goes against our grain. And Lord, we see wrongs and we want to fix it. And we have to pay for it and we want to fix it and we can't. It's out of our hands. But Lord, You have Your will. You have Your the Word to study, and help us, Lord, just to understand it. Just open our hearts, Lord, for the message You have for each and every one of us individually this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And we've got some visitors here this morning. The McNally's are back, so that's good to have our, welcome back to the great state of Kansas. All righty. Okay. And again, as I said, a lot of the things that I'm teaching right now, it's actually some of the things that I've been saying run against my grain, and I'm thinking, I wish God wouldn't have put that in there in His Word, I keep saying, Jim, are you missing something here? Are you teaching the truth? That's my job, to teach the truth. I'm not to add anything to it or take anything away from the Word of God. That's my job. And I'm trying, and I ask God for direction. I need his wisdom. I need His help, His wisdom, to give me understanding, to know the difference, things I should say, things I shouldn't say, and all that. And yet, what we've been studying, and some of it's hard to swallow, and some of it we're down deep inside, we're thinking, I don't know if I want to obey that rule or not. Well, these are not my words, folks. This is written before I was born. And so anyway, and if there's some things that I've said, have disagreement with or something, come tell me. I might be missing something, but I'm really, enough said on that. But as we take a look and we think our government has got a lot of wrongs, and it does. And again, we say that God has put these people in their positions. I mean, that is crystal clear. Every one of them, the good ones, the bad ones, everything, they're there by divine appointment, okay? And now I lost my train of thought. I don't know what I was getting ready. It was profound, whatever it was. Okay, part of the aging process, folks. I've totally gone blank here. All right. Well, let's go ahead. We are in Romans chapter 13, and we're going to pick it up in verse 3. We finished through verse 2. Okay, let me... All right. I do need to make a clarification here. I wrote a note down here from me to me. Anyway, verse 2. I'm just going to read verse 2 here. Well, I'll just, all right. I'm okay. All right. Let's go ahead and read Romans chapter 13, and let's go ahead and read verses 1 through 7, because the whole thing flows together as a unit. And I'd rather not break it up, but then we'll pick it up at verse 3. So who'd read 1 through 7 for us this morning? John?
Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation or judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is a minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is a minister of God, a avenger, to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore, ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor.
Okay, thank you, John. In the note that I have, the last word in verse 2 in the King James, it says, for they shall receive unto themselves damnation, okay? Now, that word damnation, a better translation would be condemnation, you know. And you said some other word, too.
Judgment.
What?
Judgment.
Yeah, judgment, okay? That's what that verse actually is, a better translation than damnation. Because a lot of people think, well, damnation means sent to hell. It doesn't mean sent to hell, okay? So I wanted to make that a condemnation by the magistrates or by the government. So I just wanted to clarify that. I didn't make that clarification last Sunday. Let's just go ahead and pick it up. And again, verses 1 and 2, I mean, it makes it crystal clear that these people are put in position by God, you know, by divine appointment, they are there, whether we like it or not, you know. And, okay, verse 3. It says, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil, okay? The fourth reason we're to submit to the government is that the government serves to resist evil. Our laws, for the most part, are good, okay? And it is meant there for our good, for our benefit. Terror is not to people who do good works. If you don't disobey the law, you're fine. The government's not going to condemn you for obeying the law. Well, anyway, things are changing so fast. Anyway, but it is a terror to those who do evil works. So the government is there to punish evildoers. And that's what God has given them the authority to do, and he's given it to them and not to us personally. And we got to make that very clear. When God laid down the laws of government, he established that there were principles to be followed. And he laid down some rules, and we're going to take a look at that. We're going to be in the Old Testament here for some. Let's go ahead and turn to Numbers chapter 35. Numbers chapter 35, and God's laying down rules. Okay, Numbers chapter 35, and we're going to read verses 16 through 21. And again, we're going to be taking a look at several different places here where God's put rules down. So Numbers 35, 16 through 21. And who'd read that for us? Pastor Post?
Verse 16, and if he smite him with an instrument of iron so that he die, he is a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death. And he smite him with hurling stone, wherewith he may die, and he die, he is a murderer. And the murderer shall surely be put to death. Or he smite him with a hand broken of wood, wherewith he may die, and he die, he is a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death. The revenger of blood himself shall slay the murderer. When he meeteth him, he shall slay him. But if he thrust him of hatred, or hurl at him by laying of weight, then he die. Or in enmity smite him with his hand, then he die. And that smote him shall surely be put to death, for he is a murderer. The revenger of blood shall slay the murderer when he meeteth him.
Okay. These are rules put out by God. All right, okay. And note that this only has to do with murder, nothing else. Now, that chapter continues on. Now, he says, if for some reason it is an accident that somebody dies, then he's not a murderer. I mean, and it goes on down that vein, you know. So he doesn't be put to death if it was an accident, or if he's not doing it out of envy, or like it says here, if you're laying in wait, you know, and what we just got done reading. Here God gives the government the authority to allow the avenger of blood the authority to personally kill the murderer. And here it's talking about the avenger of blood. I mean, the guy that's been wronged, he has got the right to kill the guy. That's what Scripture's saying. And in verse 19 and verse 21, it says, the revenger of blood himself shall slay the murderer. Folks, that's capital punishment. Does God believe in capital punishment? Yes, he does. Okay? And again, I'll repeat it. If God believes in it, we should too. Excuse me. That's the institution of the law. Turn to Ecclesiastes. There was one of the authors had a humorous thing in there. He says, nobody knows where Ecclesiastes is. He says, you just need to be thankful if you're sitting beside somebody that knows where Ecclesiastes is. It's the first book right after the book of Proverbs. So turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 8. And we'll read verse 11. And who'd read that for us? Delbert?
Because a sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil.
This verse here is saying that the vengeance is to be executed speedily. Okay, do we take care of business today speedily? Oh my. I keep thinking there is no reason. This thing couldn't be done in a week. You know, I mean, give them a week, it should be a plenty of time, you know. But anyway, but they drag it out for 15 years and the lawyers are making tons of money every day. And anyway, okay. Leave that alone, Jim. This tells us that judgment is to be meted out immediately. It is to be meted out hastily. And when the government punishes a criminal, it is enacting the will of God. We've studied that. The government, to do its work, must put fear in the hearts of evildoers. Folks, there are people out there that say that there's been studies been tested and they have found out that capital punishment does not stop people from committing crimes. It doesn't, you know, I mean, it doesn't put fear in people, and so we need to do away with capital punishment. And I've heard that. And God says it needs to be taken care of easily. And we're going to read verses here that says, because it puts fear in people, so they're not going to do the same thing over again. It does work, okay, even regardless of what our these high-powered people with all these big brains that they've got, they come up with. Anyway, the government, to do its work, must put fear in the hearts of evildoers. And we are well aware of what happens when a government does not put fear into the hearts of evildoers. We can look at our own nation today and see it. The results of that are tragic. Rulers in general know the difference between good and evil. I mean, that's part of our conscience that we were born with. When Adam and Eve ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, when they ate of it, they sinned when they disobeyed God, and they entered into the knowledge of good and evil. And I guess I'd never really thought of that before. Before they took that bite, they didn't know good from evil because I guess there was no evil. But anyway, now all of a sudden, and it is the knowledge of good and evil. And so from that first bite, mankind has received the knowledge of good and evil. And again, like the sin nature's passed down, that knowledge is passed down. That's part of our conscience. God put that into each and every one of us, and we inherit it. That knowledge has been passed down, and everybody coming into this world has a basic knowledge of good and evil. A basic knowledge, you know. And unsaved people, you know that there's to do certain things are wrong. They know it. That's a part of conscience. Here's a little bit of insight into how a government is to act if it is fulfills its God-ordained rule to the maximum. Okay? Here's what God requires. Turn to Deuteronomy 19. And when we're done with this, stay in Deuteronomy. We're going to camp out in Deuteronomy here, flipping pages back and forth for a little bit. So Deuteronomy 19. And we're going to read verses 11 through 13. And so who'd read this for us? Okay, Jeffrey?
But if any man hate his neighbor and lie in wait for him and rise up against him and smite him mortally that he die and fleeth into one of these cities, then the elders of his city shall send and fetch him thence, and deliver it into the hand of the avenger of blood, that he may die. Thine eyes shall not pity him, but thou shalt put away the guilt of innocent blood from Israel, that it may go well with thee.
Okay. Verse 13 is very important. I'm just going to repeat that again. Thine eyes shall not pity him, but thou shalt put away the guilt of innocent blood from Israel, that it may go well with thee. In other words, the implication here is if you don't do it, it's not going to go well with you. You know, because this is God's rules we're looking at here, folks. A government is to act against evildoers without pity, that it may go well with thee. That's what it says. If you don't, you can know that it will not go well with you. That's God's promise. Okay, so it needs to be dealt with. And you don't show favoritism. It might be your aunt or your uncle, you know. It doesn't matter. Okay, skip down to verse 21 in Deuteronomy 13. Verse 21. And I'll just go ahead and read this. It says, and thine eye shall not pity, but life shall go for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, and foot for foot. In other words, there's to be a just retribution. It doesn't always have to be death, you know, but the punishment needs to be in accordance to the severity of the crime. It In other words, there's to be equal retribution without pity. In other words, don't slack off on him because he's your friend or whatever. And a question as why comes up, back up one verse to verse 20. And those which remain shall hear and fear and shall henceforth commit no more any such evil among you. God is saying right here that to punish people, it does have an effect, and it's going to keep the next guy from doing the same thing. He knows, he sees that he's going to get in trouble, what's going to happen to him. And so he will, God says it's going to keep him from doing it. But if he does do it, it's just. He's got it coming. If you don't exact punishment without pity, then people don't have that fear that restrains them from doing evil. That's basically reverse of what verse 20 just got done telling us. Back up a couple chapters to Deuteronomy 17. Okay, Deuteronomy 17, we're going to read verses 12 through 13. And who'd read that? Delbert?
Now the man who acts presumptuously and will not heed the priest who stands to minister there before the Lord your God, or the judge, that man shall die. So you shall put away the evil from Israel, and all the people shall hear and fear, and no longer act presumptuously.
Okay. Or it says it again. When someone does not obey those in leadership, they must be sentenced without pity. The government tells you to do something, and you don't do it. You refuse to do it deliberately. And sentence in a way that causes other people to fear the same thing if they act in the same way. It does bring fear. It does work according to the Word of God. Go back a few more chapters to Deuteronomy 13. We'll read verses 6 through 11. Who'd read that? Pastor?
13:6.
Yeah, 13:6 through 11. Okay, thank you, Pastor. Okay, this talking about, it's talking about your near relatives, you know. But if somebody is trying to entice you away from the, forget serving Jehovah God, all right, and let's go serve these idols. That person right there, it's your relative, whatever, you are to kill them.
That's what our government's doing to us today.
Yeah, good point. I never thought of that. Yes, it is. Yep. When someone does not obey those in leadership, they must be sentenced without... I've jumped back here. It is to act by God's design without partiality. Don't show partiality. There is to be no one set apart because of some respect of persons. or because of some preference. Again, this is somebody trying to draw you away from the Lord. God says, stone it. Yes, sir.
I just thought it would be a good response if somebody were like a Mormon or Jehovah's Witness or, you know, somebody else is trying to, convince you that they are right. Take them back to this and say, you know, too bad we're not in Old Testament times because I could kill you right
now. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. That is a good point. I never thought of that either. I'm glad you guys are out there to help, to help fill in the cracks in the behavior. Okay, turn to Deuteronomy. Anybody else have a comment? Yes, sir. Okay. Good point. Anybody else? And again, if you have a comment, raise your hand if I'm not asking for people for input. I mean, hold your hand up and this is not a Jim Gay preach-a-thon. Yes, sir. Yeah.
And basically, that's the main reason, as I understand it, is the difference in theocracy and a different type of government.
Yeah, we are living in the New Testament. I'm just laying out principles here that yes.
Right, that's Moses' time, and that's before judges. Judges, and of course, before the kings of the kingdom, all of which God endorsed at that time. Also, this is speaking through them, and although, now this is my opinion at this time, could be changed, but Jesus spoke to this as far as, you know, you say an eye for an eye. But he was speaking to us individually. He was not speaking to governments. I don't think he, this is my opinion, I don't think he changed the nature of what the government is supposed to do, as we're in Romans, Paul is saying. Mm-hmm. But he's speaking to us individually as far as an eye for an eye. If someone out here commit an atrocity against me, yeah, I do want judgment, but he's speaking to me at that too. He's speaking that I don't go out and do the same thing to him. That's reserved for the government that God's installed. So now that's my opinion.
Okay.
Maybe change. Go ahead and ask questions.
No, that's fine. Okay. Anybody else? Okay. Okay, let's turn to Deuteronomy 25. Deuteronomy 25. Okay. You're close. I'm going to give you this.
I'll just talk louder.
You're handy to hand it to. Back there, they're not.
I think the principle here that God is trying to tell us is to reveal to us how serious it is to entice someone away from God, the true God. It's serious stuff. It's not something that we say, oh, you know, well, I'll come back, or I'll read what they say and, make my decision, and I think I'll come back to the real God. No, it's more serious than that. It's God teaches in the Old Testament that if we mix with ungodly people, we will not make them godly. They will make us ungodly. So.
Okay, let's turn to Deuteronomy 25. Thank you, John. I appreciate the input and stuff, and I'm learning right along with everybody else. I certainly don't have the answers. Okay, Deuteronomy 25, verses 1 through 3. Let me get there right quick. Okay, who'd read that for us? Okay.
If there be a controversy between men, and they come to judgment, the judges may judge them, then they shall justify the righteous and condemn the wicked. And it shall be, if the wicked man be worthy to be beaten, if the judge shall cause him to lie down, and to be beaten before his face according to his fault by a certain number, 40 stripes he may give him, and not exceed, lest if he should exceed and beat him above these with many stripes, then your brother should seem vile to you.
Okay. Now you talk about quick judgment, taking care of business up front. That is, the guy is condemned. He's found guilty. He's to lay down right there, and they're going to beat him with stripes. You know, I mean, it doesn't. They're not dragging it out for 15 years, folks. It's supposed to be taken care of quickly. Okay, if the judge finds him guilty, he puts him down right there on the spot, and he beats him and gives him what retribution is due. This means government is to act without pity, without partiality, and without delay. Without delay. It needs to be an immediate kind of punishment, an immediate response, so that it is apparent and obvious to all that there is fast judgment. Folks, we need faster judgment today. And anyway, unfortunately, we've seen the erosion of these kinds of principles, haven't we? What happens when delay becomes the norm? Everybody thinks he can do whatever they want and escape judgment. How are we doing in this country? I don't think we're doing things speedily at all. Certainly, we as Christians don't want to tear down what God has put in place to uphold goodness and restrain evil. In the absence of capital punishment makes a nation blood guilty before God. For where life is not taken for life, the ground, even in the case of Cain and Abel, the ground cries out unto God for unrequited blood. We can see why the murder rate in our country goes higher and higher and higher. The instruments of punishment are human, but the source is divine. Human men mete out punishment, but it's designed by God. It is a purpose, plan, and will of God carried out by earthly government. Now, again, God puts sinful men into high places, okay? But again, they are, God allows them, they can make wrong decisions, but God put them there. And again, we see that. Sinful man makes sinful decisions. And when this breaks down, when criminals are not properly punished, an institution of God is destroyed, or in other words, it's lost its effect. It's like the home. When children aren't properly punished, what happens to the family? It disintegrates. We're just not to spare the rod and spoil the child. And a lot of time now, we can see kids have no respect for authority, and they've been, well, you've seen all that. Okay. And the same is true in society. And again, we've lost our moral values. People lie constantly and get away, you know. I'll get back to my notes here. And I really believe that America is headed for destruction unless we change. And I don't see us changing too quick. And we're just going on a path. I'm afraid that a year from now, the news is probably going to be worse than it is today. That's my opinion. It can be turned around. I guess there is a revival going on in this country right now, and it's a big-time revival, and that's good. I pray for revival in this nation. And, folks, it needs to start in our churches. That's where revival is going to be, and it's in the hands of Christians to turn it around, you know, along with God's help. And if my people who are called by my name, he's referring to Christians, shall humble themselves and seek my face and stop their evil works and pray, then I will heal a nation. Then. Our lowering of moral values, hoarding material things, massacring unborn babies, failing to quickly and strongly punish evildoers, tolerating vice, endorsing homosexuality, you can just go on and on and on. That's the sins of our nation today. We've turned our backs on God, and yet people into fancy speech and say, God bless America. You know, folks, God's wrath, I've said it before, God's wrath is ever much an attribute of his character as his love. Every bit as much. And people want to talk about the love of God, but they don't want to talk about God's wrath. They don't believe in God's wrath. Tolerating vice, okay. And that's a devastating reality of the fall of our country. And ultimately, as in the case of individuals, I think God will give our nation over to a reprobate mind if we don't turn around. We're headed down the wrong path, 100 mile an hour. The answer is not politics. The answer is to put our money, our time, our effort, our prayers, and our lives into living a godly life. Live for the Lord. Preach the gospel. And speaking boldly the gospel of Jesus Christ, which alone can change a heart. That's the only way things are going to turn around is for hearts to get changed by Christ. And changed hearts can turn a nation around. So we submit because government is from God. To rebel is to resist God. To rebel against the government, our laws. As long as they don't go against the principles of the Bible. Still, the truth stands in spite of the fact that there are those times when a government oversteps its bounds. And there are times when there is injustice and inequality, inequity. Still, the principle stands. So let's go back to the book of Romans. My friend is getting about ready to cut me off. My friend back there. The clock. Well, just, okay, anybody have a comment before we, yes, sir. 1 Corinthians 7:15. Me and my hearing aids, I cannot hear you. It's not you, it's my hearing aids. It picks everything up with the person speaking.
If you go to 1 Peter chapter 2, but I want to give you a train of thought here, folks. If the government is violating God's law, we got to stand against it. But from the beginning, God gave us a free will. Now, people say God appoints these people in the government, but he also says, who puts them in? We vote on them. We're the ones that put these people in power. And so, when the first killing came, was it God willing that this young man die? I don't think so. Because he gave you free will to do right or wrong. And when God said, come judgment day, that's when the meat hits the fan. Because then he determines right from wrong. But right now, he gives you a free will, folks. So when you vote these people in, is it God putting them in? Or are you? Are you listening to God saying, no, we can't put these people in because they violate his law? So think about it. You cannot adhere to a government that permits such sin in the world. But who's at fault? Us. Because we're letting this sin take place. I just want to give you a different train of thought in Scripture. Yes, God created government from the beginning. He creates a standard which your family you must live by, man and woman, so forth and so forth. But who in the first put these people in power?
Very good. Anybody else?
Jim, on verse 2, I'm sorry, verse 2, it had, we're talking about the judgment, bring the judgment on.
Was there a version? My version said judgment. Some version said condemnation. Was there? There's not a damnation in there, was there? Was there somebody version that had damnation?
King James says
damnation. King James. Okay. Well, when you look down, just something to consider for next week. When you look down to verse 4, it sure appears to me that that is a judgment by men and not by God. Okay. Maybe we can discuss that next time when we get to, or 2 weeks from now when we get to verse 4. I don't know. 3 weeks maybe. So, but it appears to me that that's a judge bringing judgment, condemnation, damnation, you might say, by men, not by God, as far as where it is. Resisting the authority, resist the ordination of God. Ordinance, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. More from judgment of men, you know, what's the consequences if we resist? It's not God's judgment, it's the man's judgment or the government's judgment. So,
okay.
On the revival issue, Answers in Genesis had a good response to that, the revival that's happening in some of the colleges. They sent someone to the Asbury University where you hear about a big revival going on there. And she went and she observed. She went to the actual services that they were having, and she had a real good response. She said she didn't know if this was really genuine or not. She said Asbury University has gotten woke. They teach CRT and they something else. What else did I say?
1619 project.
They have something else that they've done. She didn't say that. There were three things.
Well, I heard it started out with contemplating prayer and visions.
Okay, yeah, a lot of feelings, emotionalism, and she really questioned whether this was genuine. There was something else. They teach theistic evolution too. They're at that college. So she really questioned whether that revival going on there is genuine. And I hear of other revivals going on at other colleges. Are they genuine? She says, time will tell. But she was very skeptical of what she saw and heard there.
Okay. Okay. Good point. Okay, we're 3 minutes overdue, but I think we've... Pastor?
Just real quick, I think we're living in the day where we call evil good and good evil, and we're condemning the victim and lifting up the perpetrator.
Yeah.
That's happening. We see it on the news all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, there's just a lot of things that are just totally, calling evil good and good evil. So, okay, folks, we got to close. Pastor McNally is going to be on my case if we don't. So let's close in prayer. Dear Father, thank you, Lord, for our study this morning. Lord, we're all learning together. Lord, just help us to understand. Help us, Lord, just to desire to live godly lives regardless of what's going on around us. Lord, that's our job, is to live godly lives, to honor and glorify Jesus Christ, and Lord, just to preach the gospel and give us the strength and the wisdom and the desire to do that. And I just pray that you'll be with Pastor this morning as he brings us our message. I pray, Lord, you'll speak to each and every one of us. Lord, just to convict us and strengthen us, Lord, and help us, Lord, just to have a closer walk with you and have a sincere desire to do that, Lord, just to walk closer with you, to grow spiritually. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.